Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode 106. Thank you so much for tuning in. Joining me shortly on today's show is Ashley Watkins, a certified personal trainer out of Los Angeles, California. If you're seeking marketing strategies and techniques on ways to put on a quality event with limited funds, then how to create A-list events on a shoestring budget, a step-by-step guide to attracting athletes, celebrities and sponsors on a small budget just might be one of the best business decisions you've ever made. It comes with a 100% 30-day money-back guarantee. For more information, visit www.6weeksoffitness.com and click on the Create A-List Events page. Ashley Watkins is a mother of two boys, a certified personal trainer, kinesiology student, and business owner. Ashley, who is originally from Buffalo, New York, now lives in Los Angeles, where she is fulfilling her dreams by helping others. After battling a lifetime of obesity and losing 100 pounds through her own journey, Ashley started Body by Ashley, a company dedicated to helping thousands of men, women, seniors, and children to achieve their highest health and fitness goals through developing challenging fitness programs, group classes, one-on-one training, and meal planning. Her in-person training has transformed the lives of many, but more importantly, her social media influence and online programs have touched thousands across the globe. I am pleased to have Ashley Watkins on my 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it is my pleasure to have you here. But before we talk about your fitness company, Body by Ashley, let's talk a little bit about you, okay?
Okay.
Now, I know that you grew up, you were raised in Buffalo, New York, which is not that far from where I am in New York City.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like?
Well, I guess I could say I've never known what it was like to, like, be an average-sized child because I was always, you know, kind of on the chubby side, like they call it. So I had a challenging childhood because I wasn't able to really perform in sports and, you know, run around and play and do what the other kids did. I was more of, you know, I was really smart, so I excelled academically, but I always struggled, like in PE and, you know, physical fitness and trying to get into sports. And then by the time I was 14 years old, I was put in physical therapy because I had terrible joints, knees, ankles. You know, I was having knee problems from being overweight. And, you know, the doctor put it to me, frankly, you know, you need to lose some weight. And I had to go to physical therapy for a year in my first year of high school. So I didn't have the normal childhood, you know.
Wow. So where did this overweight, where did this come from, this excessive weight? What were you doing to put on these extra pounds?
Well, I like to look at it from two perspectives. I like to look at it, one, from a genetic point of view, being that I come from my mom's side, a family of mostly overweight people. And on my dad's side, also, you know, I come from a pretty big family. You know how we like to say big bones. So that's
yes,
one way we can look at it. In combination of being raised in a low-income household, you know, where the basic nutrition and the nutrition education is just really not present. You know, you're eating what's fast, what's convenient, what's cost-effective. For my mom, who was a single parent, you know, doing the best at what she knew how to do, which was, I mean, a regular meal would be some fried chicken and, you know, ordering pizza on the weekends. And, you know, we just didn't have that background to where our family didn't know. You know, we had those traditional large soul food meals on the weekends, on Sundays. I had a great grandmother that cooked, you know, every Sunday, huge meals, you know. So I was constantly overeating. I was pacifying my emotions with food and just generally doing with a lot of Black children in these low socioeconomic areas are experiencing the same things, you know, stressful environments, living in a household of poverty, you know, and just kind of self-medicating with food. Whereas like, we don't now in hindsight, I know that's what was going on. But when you're in those households and even, you know, the parents of those households, they really don't understand. They feel like they're doing the best with their kids. And honestly, you know, we're taught clean your plate, you know, eat a lot, or we're looked at as being affluent by buying more and more food, filling up our freezers, filling up our refrigerators, and, you know, overeating, eating these large portions. So I would say it's a combination of nature and nurturing. You know, it comes from the household and the habits that are developed, along with, you know, the genetics and some of the generational curses that are passed down, unfortunately, from, you know, the people that came before us.
Yes, yes. Well said. And again, your parents love you. It's not like they didn't love you.
Right.
They felt by feeding you shows you how much they love you for putting food on the table, right?
Right.
They didn't know. They didn't know that they were doing more harm than good by the food that they were giving you.
And it's even, you know, cute to be, you know, chubby, like a chubby kid or a chubby baby.
Yes.
It's cute. It's appealing. And, oh, look at her. She's, you know, she's chubby. Or she, my mom used to say, oh, she's husky, or, you know, or she would say, you know, everybody's not meant to be skinny. So, you know, there's like a little complexity in loving who you are.
Yes.
And embracing your curves. And then on the opposite side of that, knowing when it's unhealthy. So it can get a little bit tricky, you know?
Oh, most definitely trying to navigate those waters,
right?
You know, what was your heaviest weight?
I would say at my heaviest, after I had my first son, I was about 280 pounds. So I was close to 300 pounds at my heaviest.
Mm, really?
Yes.
Close to 300. And how tall are you?
I'm 5'7". So that's pretty obese for 5'7".
Yes, it is. It's pretty obese for quite a few sizes.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know? Now, I also understand that you are in a toxic relationship. Did that contribute to your obesity?
Yeah, it did. Because I think sometimes when you're young and you're a young parent, you kind of lose yourself in a relationship. And when the relationship is unhealthy, you can develop low self-esteem, depression. And I'm sure a lot of women probably can relate that you stop seeing yourself and you stop valuing yourself. And sometimes eating and overeating is a way that you've developed some coping skills. And you're definitely, if the relationship is unhealthy, you're definitely not going to be super motivated to, you know, better yourself. You kind of get in this complacent mode where you're just going through the motions and you're not even really looking in the mirror because you're starting to devalue yourself, you know, and it mostly takes place in the subconscious. So, you know, through the subconscious, you're acting out these things in your daily life. And then when you have small children, also you put whatever energy you do have into the children and less into yourself. So it's a vicious cycle, you know, it's a vicious cycle until you can wake up and break out of it, you know, and some people never do. So it's kind of difficult once you get into that cycle of the overeating, the sleeping a lot, the, you know, dressing to cover yourself up more. You start taking pictures like from the face up. You're just taking selfies because you really don't want to face yourself. It's just a bunch of toxic habits. And then if you have a person that you're in a relationship with that you can't go to for support, then you get in this lonely, depressing place in your life.
Oh, most definitely. Which brings me to my next question. What was your aha moment that kind of helped you to kind of, you know, change direction?
I think for me, during that relationship, I had found out that my boyfriend was cheating on me, and it was, you know, and I don't encourage people to transform their lives through anger. But for me, it was anger. It was that fire, you know. It was like, how dare you do this to me? And I honestly, I started to see myself. It was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, hello, you can do so much better than this situation. I looked in the mirror one day and I did not like what I saw. I didn't like how I was being treated. And that fueled me. I can honestly say I probably owe him for my weight loss, because I was at the gym every day focused on I'm going to get my life back, because it was just that fuel and that anger that said enough is enough. And I had finally started to want something for myself instead of wanting something for someone else. I wanted to be better. I wanted to like who I saw in the mirror. I wanted to get up every day, have energy, be motivated. I mean, I even started like getting better sneakers, you know, to support my workouts, getting a better bed so I could wake up with energy and not have an aching back. Like, I literally transformed every aspect of my life after that relationship, because truly I was angry. I mean, you know, even mad at myself a little bit, you know, like, how did you let yourself get here? You know,
but you didn't know. It just crept up on you, you know,
right,
all of a sudden. But the good thing is you knew to get out of it. You knew what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and there are worse choices than going to a gym to deal with your issues. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
You made a great choice. So when did you move to L.A.?
So I moved to L.A. in 2012, August of 2012.
Okay. That was after the relationship.
Yes, that was after the relationship was probably a year or two had ended. So I lost the majority of my weight in Buffalo.
Ah, there you go. Did you really? Okay, what gym did you go to?
When I was in Buffalo, you know, this is funny. I was going to World's Gym. It was the first gym I went to. And it was convenient, which I even tell clients now, you know, pick something that's convenient, that's going to work in your schedule. It was close to my house.
Yes.
It had a daycare. I was able to, it had everything that I needed so that I could eliminate every excuse. But as I worked out, what helped me most was to go to a women's gym, because I had so many body image issues and self-esteem issues. My comfort level increased when I transferred over to the BAC for women, which is the Buffalo Athletic Club for women. And I've always had a trainer at each gym that I joined. So I was able to get that guidance that I needed, but I did switch to a women's gym and it helped me a little bit more because I felt more comfortable.
I understand, because I hear from women all the time that, well, I don't want to go to a gym. I want people looking at me.
Yeah, that's a big thing, you know. And I tell people, too, now I tell people you have to get over that, because most of the time everybody else is too busy thinking that people are looking at them. So they're not even thinking about you, because everybody's thinking that.
Exactly. Everybody's looking at themselves.
Right.
They're thinking about you. But you feel that all eyes are on you, you know?
Yes.
That's how you feel. So I understand. So you packed up your bags, you took your kids, and you moved to L.A.
I did.
Right? Now, was it hard to do that as a single parent with two kids? Did you know anybody? Did you know anybody in L.A.?
Yes, my dad lives out here, but he was the only person that I knew. So he was kind of the voice in my head, because it was hard.
Yes.
So, you know, he constantly stayed in my ear, because once you tell somebody you're going to do that, all you get is negativity. They're like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? What are you going to do? Where are you going to work at? L.A. is expensive. So it's something that, you know, I had to kind of like keep to myself and like lean on my dad for support, because everybody else was like, you're nuts.
Yeah, I bet. Really? But your dad was there for you.
Yes, he was. He was a big support. I mean, just even on the phone, you know, talking me through it, keeping me focused on, you know, getting my plans together. I left my job, but, you know, it was a lot of anxiety involved, but I was ready. I was excited. I was ready for the change, but there was a lot of stressful moments. So I did have him as my support system.
Okay, because it is very important to have support, you know?
It is.
Extremely important to have that. Now, But let's talk again, though, about the 100 pounds that you lost. The total, I guess that's your total weight loss, right?
Yes, that's my total weight loss.
Now, a friend of mine who's also on my show, Lisa Nichols, she says, she don't say she lost the weight. She says, I released the weight.
Oh, I know. I know who Lisa Nichols is. Yes. That is
yes,
so
she's
Lisa
on my
Nichols-ish.
Show. Yeah. She's so positive,
yes.
You know? So positive. So how did you release it all? What type of exercise, nutrition, what did you do to make it happen? Let my listeners know. I'm sure they'll want to know.
Yeah, so the first thing I did was I kept it simple. You know, I talk to people about this a lot because right now we're in information overload. And I think that people are doing a lot of research and they're getting overwhelmed and they're not keeping it simple. I mean, I did the cheapest, simplest thing. So starting with just increasing my water intake and keeping track of that, you know, I had a desk job. I worked in social work. So I was 80% at my desk and 20% in the field. So I would be in my car or either in my cubicle. And I literally kept track of, okay, every couple of hours, how much water am I drinking? Did I have a bottle of water? Maybe I should get another bottle of water. So I had a formula of, okay, I weigh 200 pounds. I need to drink 100 ounces of water. And I was constantly keeping track of that. And then I had made a decision. I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't eat anything unless I cooked it. So that eliminated the stopping through the drive-through, the fast food, the lunch with coworkers,
amazing.
Which was really difficult because sometimes people think you're being antisocial if you don't want to eat with them or, you know, they're passing the menu around at lunchtime. And I would be like, and I wasn't rude, but I just, after months and months and months of saying, no, thank you. No, thank you. It became normal to say, you know, and after a while they stopped asking me. They're like, Ashley is not going to eat what we're eating today. You know, they'd be like, you want some Subway? I'm like, nope. If it didn't come from home, I wouldn't eat it. And that made me be more disciplined on making sure I had food with me every day. Because, you know, if you're not prepared, you're going to have to make a split second decision on what to eat. And it's probably not going to be the right decision. So I was just diligent on, and like I said, I kept it so simple. I would take steamed vegetables, you know, that I could just heat up in the microwave or heat up in a container at home and just eat room temperature. I would, you know, I would bake a large pan of chicken that I could just, you know, portion out for the whole week. And that consistency of, you know, the things that I can make in large portions, like if I could boil 18 eggs at one time or make a huge pan of brown rice at one time or a huge pan of chicken, things that I know I would eat throughout the week, then all I had to do is just add that vegetable or add that, because people do meal preps and they divvy out everything. And for me, it was easier for me to make a big pan of chicken and then go, okay, Monday I'm going to make a chicken wrap. Tuesday it's going to be a chicken salad. Thursday is, you know, it made me feel
chicken.
It was chicken, but it made me feel like I had some sort of variety as opposed to that cookie cutter, like a boiled egg, a piece of broccoli, a piece of chicken. And then that repeated seven times, you know, I would be like, okay, I can't do that. I need to just keep it simple. And honestly, just keeping track, you know, okay, I haven't eaten a couple hours. Let me go grab this snack and just always being prepared. I had in my drawer at work, I had a box of oatmeal packets, you know, so if I did forget my breakfast, like I literally eliminated every excuse. You know, there's cereal bars in the drawer. There's nuts in the drawer. There's things that aren't perishable in my desk. There's things that aren't perishable in my car. So emergency situation, I get hungry, I can reach right in my glove box and get this little pack of almonds that I had stowed away because I knew myself. And that's a big thing, too. Like, I know me. If I forget something, I'm going to run through Taco Bell. So I said, okay, how do I eliminate that? You know, I needed to know for sure, no matter what, I was going to stick to that plan. And then also, I tell people, you know, formulate what you're going to eat around what you like. So many times, people jump out of the bag and they go to, like, I hate kale. So I'm not gonna put that into my plan. I don't care what everybody else is doing. You know, if it, right. if you can figure out what you like I like pizza, I'm going to figure out a healthier option to make pizza. You know, I'm not going to jump from eating pizza once a week to trying to eat kale every day, because it's going to be so unrealistic for me that I'm not going to be able to gradually change my lifestyle. It's going to be like, oh, I couldn't do that anymore. And it's going to lead to me giving up. So I just took what I already knew I liked and I found healthier ways to make it so that I could stick to it instead of it having an end date. You know, 5 years later, I'm still eating those same things because there were things that I actually liked. And no one should try to force themselves to eat things that they don't like. Now, I'm not saying that you should always be in heaven every time you eat. You know, that's too far, but I'm saying at least be realistic with what you're going to do. And I mean, the consistency of doing, I lost that 100 pounds in about 5 or 6 months because.
Really?
Yeah. I just stuck to it. You know,
amazing.
People want the cheat meal too quick. You know, they're a week in and they're ready to eat, you know, bring back their old habits. And I think if you're consistent, that first 30 days and then have a cheat meal, you know, consistent for 3-4 weeks, then have a cheat meal. You know, if you see bodybuilders having a cheat meal once a week, well, they've earned it. You know, they're at that stage where they can do that. But if you have 100 pounds to lose, look, I've been cheating for 25 years. You know, I need to give it 30 days. You know, I don't need to jump into having that cheat meal. And I'm only 1 week into my program. So by me doing that and being disciplined, the weight was gone. And then I was able to slowly add in a cheat meal here or there. And I would eat like things that were satisfying, like maybe some dark chocolate or some trail mix with chocolate in it or something, so that I wasn't totally depriving myself. But I did give myself, you know, a block of time of consistency before I started introducing those meals in. And another thing I suggest is taking advantage of what you can do that is free. You know, one of the things I did when I was going to the gym is on the days I didn't meet with a trainer, I would go to the classes that they offered. I would go to the spin classes, the kickboxing classes, because you don't want to only be meeting with your trainer or only be, you know, doing one thing. You want to get a variety of things in so you can figure out what you like. So my cardio I did with a spin class or a kickboxing class because I knew that I wasn't going to be able to give it my all on my own. But if I went to a spin class, it's like you get on that middle bike in the middle of the gym. Once it starts, you ain't going to get up and just walk out.
Yes.
You know,
most definitely. Most definitely.
You're stuck in that class. So, you know, like I said, I'll go back to, you got to know yourself. You got to put yourself in that position to where you know you're going to succeed because there's no escape. There's no excuse. And that really worked for me. I would catch these classes because I talked to my friends, you know, they know what I do. And they're like, oh, you know, I'm at the store. I'm going to buy these dumbbells. And I'd be like, girl, you didn't have that gym membership for 6 months. You haven't went one time. Why would you go buy some dumbbells? Like, people are convinced that they have to spend and spend and spend, and they'll go buy new things.
Yes.
And I tell people, commit to something that's free. Start by getting up and walking around your neighborhood for 30 minutes. Or that doesn't cost you anything but your time. You know, use what you have. Use what you already have. You know, just try sticking to something consistently that didn't cost you any money. And then when you completed that, then go buy that set of dumbbells, you know, then go buy something because, you know, we're addicted. We're consumers. We're addicted to consumerism. You know, we want to buy something to feel like we fixed a problem when the problem is really in your mind. And, you know, there's nothing you can buy that can, you know, fix that. If you have that lack of consistency, you're going to end up with a whole bunch of gadgets and gadgets and plans,
oh, yes.
And it's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, people are emotional buyers. They see something, they want it, they go after it, you know? They just spin. They just go get it, you know? And, you know, you see the commercials on TV. You buy the latest machine, and you buy the machine, it ends up in under your bed. It ends up in your closet somewhere. But, you know, that's how people
are. You don't
are.
Know how many people I know that I tell them to throw away their Fitbits. You know, they come to their session, and I'm like, okay, we're going to warm up or we're going to stretch. And they're, wait, let me set my Fitbit. And I'm just tapping my foot at them because I'm like, did you do cardio yesterday? Oh, no, I didn't get a chance to do it. Get rid of that Fitbit because that's just a distraction. You know, people want credit. You know, so they buy, yes. You know, they buy a Fitbit because they want credit for walking to their car, you know, or doing something that's not really going to get them results, but they want to be able to see it. How I did 12,000 steps today. Well, maybe you should work on habits that are going to get you some results because you're addicted to just putting numbers in a Fitbit. You know, we're in the technology age, so people spend more time Googling things, YouTubing things, going on their Fitbit, downloading apps, and they'll do those things for a year straight and not get any results because they're just distracted. You know, their attention span is very short.
You know, you're talking as a trainer, mm-hmm. So let's talk about Body by Ashley. And I love the name, by the way.
Thank you.
I absolutely do. But tell my listeners about the services that Body by Ashley provides and what they can expect if they sign up for any of your classes or programs.
Okay, so my number one service is, of course, my one-on-one training, which I provide from my at-home studio. I have a nice, huge backyard, and I have a huge studio in my home with tons of equipment. And the one-on-one service is very closely related to physical therapy. Like you mentioned, I'm going to be getting my doctorate in physical therapy. So when I started personal training, I realized that people have a lot of muscle imbalances, joint issues, posture issues when they come to you. So the one-on-one training addresses those things so that you have a better chance of lowering your risk for injury. You know, most people, if they go to just a boot camp or a class and they jump in, the instructor or even myself, you know, may not be able to give you the one-on-one modifications that you need for your body. So, you know, the person that is ideal for one-on-one training is a person that's going to, one, maybe they haven't worked out in a long time and they don't even have a clue of what to do. And they're starting with the basics on form, alignment points, posture. And like I said, injury prevention, you know, 9 times out of 10, that client comes to me and they have to be taught how to squat in a, you know, which is one of the things, the first things that they get is a physical assessment. You know, so that I can see where are your muscle imbalances? What do you need help with? Because what you might need help with, what you think you need help with, you know, I want to lose my stomach, but, you know, you might have a weak core. You might have ankle instability. You may have some things that in your mind, you just hate squatting, but it could be some physical things going on that we could help you with. And we can strengthen up those weaker muscles to make the exercise, you know, more comfortable for you. Because I tell people, first, go to your doctor. Second, you know, don't exercise through pain. Figure out what the pain is, and maybe we can try to figure out what the source of it is and, you know, get you to feeling better. So, because that's where the fear in working out comes from. Sometimes we won't admit it. You'll just say, I have a bad back or I have a bad knee. Well, why have you been walking around with a bad knee for 10 years? You know, what is going on? Right. What's going on with that knee? It could be hip tightness. It could be anything. And, you know, that one-on-one training will, one, it will address those issues, and then you'll be held accountable to a goal. You know, we set benchmarks. We also give you a customized meal plan where we sit down and talk about what your habits are. What do you like to eat? What do you want to eat? What's your grocery budget? Where do you shop at? What's your work schedule? What's your mindfulness? You know, I have one client that we do 10 minutes of meditation before her session because she has a stressful job. She works in the Valley and she lives in LA, which is like 2 hours away, you know, so she would come and her mind would be going, you know, we got to slow the thoughts down or you're never going to be able to focus on the workout if your mind is already at work, you know, and it's 5 in the morning, but you're already mentally at work, you know, and I told her, I said, this is your session. You know, you give them the 8 hours when you get there. You know, you want to take advantage of your session. So, you know, sometimes you have it and it's tailored to you. You know, that's what she needs. And if you have something that you need, that's what personal training is about. Because, I mean, I had a client have an anxiety attack before. So,
really?
Yeah, people, you know, wow. People are going through things in their lives. And yes, when someone comes to you for personal training, it's not because everything's going great. You know, it's usually because some other aspect of their life is causing them some sort of stress, anxiety, depression that got them to that weight. You know, most people that are stress-free are probably working out and eating healthy. So they wouldn't really need a trainer. So when you get to that personal training, now I'm not saying people that come for personal training have issues, but there's usually some underlying things that are going on that if they don't get those things straight first, they'll never be able to commit to a workout plan. So it's just, you know, you're dealing with a lot of fears. You know, person comes to you, they have fears, they don't want to let the trainer down, they're worried about costs, they're worried about getting to you on time, getting to work on time. So sometimes it's less about, you know, their physical goals. And those first assessments, you know, I try to get to know the person. And most people that I train, they end up kind of being more like friends because I get to know who they are and what's going to work for them, because I can't say that they're going to be like me. You know, right. I was really focused and dedicated. You know, some people may need more. I mean, I've had people that they have fitness centers in their apartment complexes or in their condos and they don't go to them. And they say, I wouldn't go to it because I'm scared to go down there. I don't know what to do. I don't want to get hurt. And they need training just to get that confidence, you know, just to be able to go work out on their own. And I tell people, you shouldn't need a trainer forever, you know.
Exactly.
You should eventually be able to venture out on your own, learn some techniques, and ideally, if you train 2-3 times a week, it should be 2 or 3 other times a week that you are working out on your own, you know, especially if you have a goal that you're trying to get to. You know, you don't want to be only meeting with your trainer, and it's not a hand-holding service. That's what I tell people. You know, I can't hold your hand through this whole thing. I'd love to, but I can't hold your hand and my kid's hand and, you know, everything else.
Exactly.
So that's the personal training aspect. The group training right now, I have a free class that I'm doing on Saturdays, open to the public. That's pretty much a fun class. You know, we're working out to high energy, up to date music. We meet at a local park. You just bring a yoga mat, a towel, and we just get it in. We do some fun exercises, partner exercises, group exercises. You know, I teach people things that don't require any equipment that they can do at home on their own. And it's just a way to commune with people. It's very motivating because you have other people there and, you know, you're just vibing with the energy of the class. And that's something that I do just to get people together, you know, even to get clients to meet one another, you know, to let you know that you're not alone.
Right.
I also have a senior class that I do with a group of seniors. They're about, I think the youngest person is like 85. They're all in.
The youngest person is 85?
The youngest person is like 85.
Goodness. That is pretty senior.
Yeah, we like to call them active seniors. And they rock. I mean, you would be so surprised. You know, the thing about seniors is they realize that they need their health, you know. And sometimes we wait until we have, you know, an ailment or the doctor says you got diabetes or you got high blood pressure or, you know, something to get active. And, you know, these seniors, they're extremely grateful to be able to do the exercises. They're super motivated. They show up. You know, they're old, so they're on time. Like, if I'm early, I'm late, you know, for them. But there's,
they look forward to it.
I know they look so forward to it. And you look across the age demographics and you see when you're young and you think you're going to be young and fly forever, you're not really motivated. And then you see the middle aged people and they're kind of getting, they got that gut and they're like, oh, you know, when I was 20, I could just run and get it off. And now I'm running and it's not going anywhere. So they start to care a little bit. But then you got the seniors. And they're grateful, they're humble, they're super motivated, they try their best, and they're awesome. And plus, there's been a lot of research on how exercise improves the memory and the brain function. So,
oh, definitely, yes.
You know, it helps them to stay on their toes, and, you know, they want to be able to be around for their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, and, you know, it's needed for them. I mean, it's needed for everyone, but they understand the need. So, you know, I'm working with people of all different ages. Even my group classes, I tell people, bring your children. Some people have adult children. Bring your kids. Get them active. Work out with them. My kids work out with me, you know. Get them off those phones.
Oh, really?
Get them off of Instagram, Facebook. Now, you get off first.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You know, you get off and then bring them, then have them get off and bring them, you know?
Definitely. But you also have online classes, right?
I do. I have online programs. You know, they're a small fee per month. And what I provide is 30-day meal plan every month, a grocery list, some workouts, some different workouts that people can try. I have some videos that are available. And for those people that are interested, I've actually done some live video training with people, which is just like my one-on-one training, but we use Facebook Live, Skype, and, you know, those type of things. Or if you have a computer, if you have a laptop, if you have an iPad, you grab an HDMI cord, you can hook it to your TV. And I've had a lot of success with those clients also, because I've been able to train people in Pennsylvania, you know. It's weird because, like, with you and I, it was a time difference. So,
yes,
you know, it depends, you know, on the availability because of the time difference. I mean, I was getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning training people because they're trying to work.
Are you serious?
Yes. But it's funny because it's really fun. It's interactive. It's just like being there with the person. And because I'm an entrepreneur, I can always go back to sleep. So, it's like,
good point.
You know, it's always good like, point. Hey, you know, get up an hour, work out with this person, lay back down, hit snooze, you know, and it works out.
Yes.
It works out for the person because they have that accountability, because most people won't work out at home. You know, they'll get the equipment and stuff. And when you're at home, it's just too many distractions. So if you know Ashley's going to be logging in with me at 5 o'clock in the morning, you got to be there or I'm going to be calling you and be waiting. Like, hey, where you at? You know, so
exactly. Wow.
It's a good, amazing. It's a good accountability factor. You know, even if you're not in my city and you're like, you know what, I really still want that one-on-one training. I'm like, okay. And technology is amazing. I mean, Facebook Live videos are very efficient. The video quality is clear. The connection is good. And you think that, oh, that doesn't seem like it will really benefit me. But, man, I was in people's living rooms, like way in Connecticut somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. Well, I found you on Instagram myself, right?
Yeah. My Instagram, you know, I meet so many people from Instagram. I owe a lot to Instagram. I think Instagram is a wonderful platform of meeting people.
It is, for sure. You know, and again, that's how I came across your page, so that you're doing some wonderful things. And I said, let me reach out to you, you know, as well.
I appreciate that.
Oh, definitely. And I know a lot of people that will be listening to this will benefit from what you had to say as well. And, you know, you mentioned one thing. You said something about being an entrepreneur, which is so important because so many people are afraid to step out like you have, you know, to for your purpose and your mission. But what type of mindset do you believe you must have to be an entrepreneur like yourself? What type of mindset would you say?
One thing I tell people is I'll give an example from the mistakes I made when I started my business. Because sometimes you have that passion and you have that drive. And I was like, me, I worked in corporate America. So I was like, sick of this. I'm going to do what I really want to do. And when I started my own business, I realized that I wasn't as disciplined as I thought, because when you work for someone else, you know what you have to do. You have those duties.
Yes.
Someone's telling you, you got to get up. You got to be there on time. When you work from home, you're kind of like, oh, you know, I could wash the dishes, or, you know, you're doing random stuff. And then you start realizing, wait, I'm not getting paid to wash the dishes.
And then, exactly.
You know, you're not as focused and disciplined. So I tell people, you have to have a really strong work ethic. And that work ethic has to carry over into your business, because if you don't work, you don't get paid. And I think people think like it's just easy, or you can do it part time and you can just kind of have your own schedule. No, it has to be just as structured as if you were still getting up, going to your job at Sears or wherever you work at. You have to be disciplined, and you have to have that work ethic, and even you have to have more work ethic, because you could work and not make any money. You know,
I would say so.
You know, so
it's
tougher. You know, there's a lot of things that I tried that didn't work out. There's a lot of investments that I've tried that didn't work out. I mean, we spend money on marketing, and, you know, you feel like you have this great idea, and, you know, and then somebody's like, hey, that, you know, I had this idea to sell meals. And I'm talking to this lady in the sauna at the gym, and she said, her husband was a chef, and they had sold meals and meal prep for people. And she said, we did that 15 years ago. She said, it's not new. You know, I thought I came up with something, you know, I was all ready.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you probably put some money out already.
Yeah.
Put a little time in.
She's like, that died. That's over. She's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, you know,
she's like, the rich people been doing that for years, getting their meals prepped for them and delivered to their door.
Oh.
I was wondering why, you know, I would mention it to clients and stuff, and people would be like, you know, they really didn't want to do it. And you have to pay attention. It's another thing I tell business owners, pay attention to the trends, you know, like right now, just like I mentioned, you can get trained digitally. In a minute, people aren't going to get personal trainers. They're going to log onto YouTube and train themselves. They're going to have a virtual trainer there. I mean, give it 15 years, and you know, and you're going to have that generation of people that still want that human interaction. But we're millennials, you know, we're on Snapchat, we're on Instagram, we're doing digital things, and you need to know that and look at the future for whatever business that you have, so that you're not wasting your time investing into, you know, going to buy something or invest into just, I mean, think about, I wrote my first business plan. It was for a workout DVD. Well, who owns a DVD player anymore?
Exactly. Think about that, right? even that's passé now. Isn't that amazing?
And that was only a few years ago. So you just look at it, and people go, I think you could still do it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it.
No.
You need an app developer. You need, you know, and then you might even want to look even further past that. You know, you look at this field and do some research. Don't just jump into your idea. And then know your target market. You know, I was aiming at the wrong people for a long time. You know, I'd be like, why don't any of my friends want to work out? Well, the people that were my age, they were doing their own thing. You know, they'd be going to a free class here. And it's come to find out my personal training clients are a little bit older than me. So I never considered that, because people my age have young kids, they have expenses, and they're just not the type of people that have the income and the time and the need for a personal trainer. And then I had to look at the clients I had. I said, okay, the people that I have are about 10 years older than me. Their kids are in college now. They have a little bit of extra money. Yes. You know, they have more free time. They're trying to get their health back. So,
yes,
you know, you need to know who you're trying to serve. And when I was young, I had a personal trainer, but I'm not a typical person. I was in my 20s with a personal trainer, and people in their 20s are going hiking. They're going bike riding. They're going to yoga classes. They're drinking on the weekend.
They're going partying. Yeah, exactly.
They're partying. They think they're going to be young forever. Forever.
But
they'll come to a hip hop workout class, you know.
There you go.
So you just need to know. Exactly. You just got to know. You can't just shoot in the dark and then you. And I would get mad. I'd be like, nobody I know supports my business. No, the people you know are not your target market. You know, it's not that they don't like you.
They're just not your target market or target audience, your target clients.
Right.
So true. Very
and
good.
And honestly, you don't want them anyway.
And you don't want them.
They're going to want a deal. They're going to come late. You don't want them.
Exactly. And again, they'll want a discount.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand your prices are very reasonable anyway.
Yeah, they are. You know, I try to be reasonable. And this can hurt your business, too, when you have a passion. Because when you have a passion for something, you'll do it for free. So I was charging people for like $10 because I'm like, I liked doing it. So I was very uncomfortable charging people because I liked doing it. I just wanted to help everybody. But then those bills start coming in. I'm like, wait a minute. let me back it up a little bit. What should I charge?
Exactly.
That's reasonable, you know?
Yes. Reality set in.
Yeah.
You know, you can't pay your bill off $10 an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, I have one more question for you, Ash.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for your time. Where do you see Body by Ashley in the next 5 years?
Well, in the next 5 years, I plan on opening a nonprofit. I'm really trying to aim my business towards children because I feel like that's what I needed. And I think that we need to be a little bit more proactive as opposed to reactive. Like, let's get to these youth that are now eating the junk food, not knowing what's going on, and they don't have that health and fitness in their everyday regimen, their everyday life. So, you know, these grown people, we already in our habits, you know, we've already developed our habits and we're trying to unlearn them. But black people, we just specifically, you know, we kind of think that they're kids, you know, they're going to burn it off. And when you look into other societies and you look into different groups and cultures of people, even if you look into other countries, not America, where you see the school lunches are healthier, the kids are more active, you know, the kids are learning about their bodies.
Yes. And,
you know, America has the highest child obesity rate. Almost 50% of our children are at risk for diabetes. And we're just, and then of course the rates go higher for blacks, higher for Hispanics.
Yes.
And I think it's a field that's totally being neglected and it just needs to be addressed. And then it needs to be done in a fun way. It needs to be done in a way that's appealing for kids. So that's what I'm working on now, developing some youth programs. Like I said, I'm going to be going to USC. They have a really good physical therapy program. So we're gonna try to get these kids right. Like I said, I was a 14-year-old getting physical therapy because I was overweight. So that's kind of where I'm trying to go with it. I love the adults,
yes.
I love the seniors, but the kids are our future, you know.
Most definitely, yes. Yes. When you have some time, you must go to my website, not the 6 weeks of fitness, but my bodysculpt.org website.
Okay.
Because that's what I do. I have a youth program called the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo. Okay, and that's what I do. But basically, I help kids to become more healthy. We expose them to all various sports activities, nutrition clinics, totally free. So you get a chance, go to the website. You'll see that's my passion. That's my mission.
Yeah. Okay? So we got to work together.
I'm telling you, so whenever you start wanting to do something in L.A., give me a call and let me know. And I'll give you any type of guidance I can. But see what I've done. See the blueprint that I have there. And, you know, definitely got to talk and see how we can help each other.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely open to that. I'm going to hold you to that. I'll be emailing you about that.
Okay. Ashley Watkins, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I truly want to thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. I was very excited to talk to you today, and I'm so grateful that you wanted to talk to me today.
Oh, most definitely. And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks to Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for the show, please leave them on my 6 Weeks to Fitness blog at www.6weekstofitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.